Welcome to the Shofar Stellenbosch Sermon Series. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.
The scripture that I have, or the title, is Not a Spirit of Fear. But I'm not going to really talk about fear. I'm going to talk about the ministry of the saints that God has called us. Later on, we're going to talk about the context of where we quote that, because lots of people say, hey, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but that of love and power and a sound mind. And so we're going to start there this morning, and I'm going to throw all of us into the deep end at the end of the service. Is we're going to pray for each other. We're going to minister to each other, because the church has to, almost like we have to put in, and we have to go to another gear in saying, hey, I'm not going to be a consumer. I'm not going to be a slave to fear. I'm going to become a minister of the gospel. And there's certain things that I want to show us, because scripture is very clear on what God has given us and the mandate he's given us as believers. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. It's a scripture that we all know. Are you all lekker out there? Just wave at me if you're right. Okay, sure. At least half of the people, the others are like, parents with the small kids are like, I've come to rest. Don't challenge me, okay? Especially the parents that walk in with a coffee. I saw all of them walk in with a coffee. That's my third cup for the day. The mommy's there, the mother's room. But listen to this. And he himself, that's God, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so he's explaining the gifts of Jesus to the church, which is the fivefold ministry. And the main focus of somebody like me is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I am not there to change the world. My main focus is to equip you guys so that you guys and ladies and men and women, old and young, can do ministry. Because there's a lot of places where you're going to go where I can never be. There's a lot of people you're going to talk to. And that's why the church doesn't happen in here. The church happens outside those doors. The moment when you leave those doors, you've just celebrated what God has done the whole week in your life. But we go out those doors and you say, this is my ministry field. And so when you and I begin to realize that I'm a minister of the gospel, I must be equipped. And that's why that's the main function of the church, is to equip people. And yes, there's fellowship and community and worship. But we don't just do songs and do nice stuff because I'm coming to survive at church. And so we are the church. We're not doing church. We are the church. We are not doing church. So I want us to change the way of talking and say, don't say, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. That's not the biblical way to say it. Say, I am the church in the week. Our coming together is the church. When we experience God, when we stand around the Word. So I'm just going to celebrate on Sunday. I'm going to celebrate on Wednesday what God has done, and we're going to minister to each other, because fellowship and community is so important. But ministry happens all day, every day. There's a lifestyle where we can walk in. But listen to this in verse 13, because normally we stop there. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the equipping comes to not just to have a couple of tools to do ministry with, but is to come to the fullness of Christ, the stature of Christ, to represent Jesus in the earth. What a privilege. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The mystery of the ages, Ephesians, Paul writes in Ephesians, says that's the hope of glory in you. And when you and I begin to realize, when we go out those doors, when we go to work, when it's Thursday and you're just sometimes wishing for the weekend to come, you know, because we get a lot of weekend people who now just live for the weekend. But I'm here to represent Jesus Christ, the stature of Christ. We're called Christians, little Christ, little ones of Christ, little followers of Christ. And he says this, when we are equipped, when the church begins to do ministry, when you and I begin to realize that it's the pastor standing in front, he's just fulfilling another function of equipping. But each one of us, there's certain stuff God has given us, and there's certain ways he wants you and I to operate, not just to have a nice time and say, yo, that's a nice church. Because, you know, I was I was shocked the past couple of weeks, and I must say, God sort of just showed me a couple of things by going to a lot of charismatic things and a couple of conferences. And I must be honest, I am very, very concerned as to where the charismatic church is at the moment. You get this one side that is like power, power. No relationship, just power, power. And then you get the other side, just grace, grace, the love of God. You know, just you get these extremes in the church. And sometimes there's just a lot of entertainment. Oh, the song wasn't nice. Oh, you know, there wasn't enough smoke screens and enough flashlights and enough stuff. And so the technology gets higher and better. I'm not against any of that stuff because, hey, that's the time we're living in. But the moment when we rely on the nice coffee or the nice smoke screens or the stuff that we flash, then we're in trouble because then we're replacing some stuff for the presence of God. There's not the fullness of the stature of Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And this is what he says, if we don't do that, if we don't equip the saints for the work of the ministry, then this is what's going to happen, because he continues and he tells us that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Okay, so tell your children what that means, okay? All those words. Let's read it slow. He says, if the church doesn't equip people, if we don't become ministers of the gospel, and if we don't realize that there's the fivefold ministry that's supposed to equip us, then what will happen is we will be tossed to and fro. We'll be like children, and we'll carried about. We'll go with every wind of doctrine. And you know the wind, sometimes the southeaster blows, and then the northwester blows, and then it's just like, you don't know where the wind comes from, but wind isn't nice, you know? I did a wedding yesterday, and the wind blew so much, I felt I was surrounded, you know? And he's just like, whoa, you know, he's just like, I'm almost screaming in the mic. I can't hear myself. I think like, okay, this is nice. Just preach the gospel, you know? But when there's winds of doctrine, and you're sort of on your little ship out there at sea, and now this wind blows and that, it's like you toss to and fro. And that is a picture of so many people in the church. So many people that don't know actually where they're going because, hey, they've not been equipped. And that's the challenge in this time when everybody wants to slow down. Everybody wants to just say, hey, go and veg at the sea. Are you equipping yourself? Are you pressing into God? Because that's the only place you'll find peace and rest. Can I get an amen? Thank you for being such an enthusiastically inspired crowd. Okay, I'm going to get some amens. We're locking the doors until there's at least 50 amens. Amen. But listen to this. He says there's also what comes in. He's talking about the church. He's not talking outside the church. He says once you get carried away by every wind of doctrine, then there's also the trickery of men. What is the trickery of men? There's deceitful plotting. It's like people that are not equipped, they're not doing the work of the ministry, and they become consumers. Is you're going to run after everything, but you're also going to fall for the trickery of men. You're going to think like, wow, you know. I was in this one worship service, and I'm just saying it not to judge anybody. So this isn't, I really went to really experience God. But after an hour of worship and jumping up and down and all that stuff, I just felt like, this is amazing. God isn't here. The presence of God is not here, but everybody's jumping up and down, psyching themselves up, shouting, doing all that stuff. But there's no faith, there's no presence of God. And I walked out there and said, okay, there's obviously something wrong with me, you know. But then after the guy preached for an hour without quoting the name of Jesus or any scriptures and just spoke about how you make a good church a great church, I thought like, oops, we're in trouble. Because that was his sermon, how to make a good church a great church. And I thought like, huh, is Jesus the center of what we're doing? And that's what ministry is about. That's why he comes, he says, there's going to be days where people are going to, they're going to have itchy ears. They're going to run to doctrines. They're going to be tossed to and fro. And the answer is saints and people that are discipled and the church that is standing up in fulfilling the ministry of Christ. He says, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ. He says, we need to grow up. If you're a young believer here, then get into the word. If you're an old believer here, get into the word. Equip yourself. He says we must grow up in Christ. And that's the most amazing thing, you know. You're never going to stop growing. You're never going to stop learning. You're never going to, you know, I remember this story of this big Satanist guy that was in a town. And these people came to him, all the pastors and everybody, you know, and he just put his curses on there. He wasn't afraid of any of the pastors until a little 9-year-old boy came to him one day outside the spa. The guy told the testimony one day, I think I was like 15 years ago here in church. And this one 9-year-old boy just stood there and he pointed his finger at this Satanist guy, was a Satanist high priest. And he said to him, "I know your type. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." That man fell on his face and repented for almost an hour. And he's today a pastor. Because it just takes one 9-year-old boy that walks up and says, "I know your type." So I'm always aware of what does the children say, you know. Don't be fake, you know. It's just amazing. Because the generations, people that are coming, it's either going to be full on for God or there's going to be just a lot of compromise and a lot of other stuff. And if we, especially, I'm talking to older people here, if you're not going to get yourself equipped and you're going to just be a consumer, we're going to be in trouble because they're going to outrun us. The Muslims that are getting saved at the moment in the church, in the world, it is crazy. Their commitment. You know, we've been in Iran and places like that, and then these little boys that are 12 years old will wake up every morning 2 a.m. go, because their parents aren't saved, and they'll go and sit under the kitchen table with the cloth drawn over, and they'll sit with a little torch and read their Bible for 5 hours from 2 a.m. to 7 a.m. every morning. Stand up, go to school. Because they're so hungry for the Word of God. God is pouring out His Spirit. And that's the people. It's a broken generation, but we need to receive and we need to make ourselves ready. Isn't that what the Bible says? The bride has made herself ready for His return. Now listen to this in verse 16. I'm just busy with the introduction. The more amens we get, the quicker the sermon is going to be finished, okay? You look very, very excited this morning. Now listen to this, verse 16. He says, "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working." Now, this is Ephesians, so it feels like 70 sermons that he tries to get into one sentence. You just want to get the stop sign somewhere, you know, just to like think, look, oh, it's going all over me. But listen, we're reading it slowly. It says, "From which the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies." We are joined and knit together by the supply of every joint. Every joint brings something to the party. Everything makes this body work. And if something, if your leg is not working, then what's happening? You are disabled. There's certain abilities that you cannot do. And so the answer for the church is for the church to come together, because every joint must supply. Every joint must come and bring their gifting to the table. You know, and we were looking at, and it was so exciting to be at these bunch of evangelists, and they were preaching and all of that stuff, and they were just like, passionate for God, go out there, change the world, you know. But then I realized, like, ooh, they're going to fall in a trap, because they need the prophetic people and they need teachers right now that can just speak into their lives, you know, because their discernment levels aren't so high. They're just passionate for God, just want to run up there. But they need some other people, some other parts, joints needs to supply something and say, hey, we need a little more discernment, because that's not from God. But you know what? Let's focus on Jesus. We love that passion. Let's go for it. But it says, every joint knit together by according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Read with me. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. Okay, you're not reading with me. Let's read it together. According to the effective working by which every part does its share. And now listen to this. Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So when every joint comes to bring their part, there's an effective working, but every part must do its share, must come and bring and say, hey, I've got something to bring to the table. And so what the devil obviously tries to do is he wants to tell you, oh, you're not spiritually enough because you don't see seven angels and drink tea with Michael the archangel every week. And you're like, no, 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 you're just in a bad spot at the moment. Your family is falling apart. Your finances are falling apart. No, just focus on yourself. And you know, that's the problem with fear. Fear is a manifestation of selfishness. Fear is a manifestation of selfishness. Because fear means you focus just on the things of yourself. You're just worried about yourself. That's a bit tough, but just take it, be offended if you want to be, but it says, when the joints come together, there's an edifying and there's a growing together. Will you turn to your neighbor and say, I need you to grow together? Sure. So the challenge is, how do we think about ourselves when we come to church, when we are the church, when we are the body of Christ? God doesn't need us, but God wants to use us. God wants you to edify other people. Because sometimes other people are going to go through a tough time. Sometimes other churches are. And that's where we edify each other. We grow together. As families, we grow together. And how many of you that know when you're a family, you are very much different. Different giftings, different stuff. I remember the one day we were going to these people and we didn't have our third child yet, but so we're going out for the day, and our one daughter is an introvert, and the other one is an extrovert, and so now we're driving back, and both of them are crying in the back of the car, but they're small. So the one says, oh, I never want to go to places like this with so many people. The other one cries and says, I cannot believe it's over there. We just want to, now we have to go home. And the other one cries, oh, I'm so glad I'm going to go home. You know, I'm thinking like, okay, how do you build a tribe with these, you know? But we are so different, you know. And some people are going to be on the stage, but some people are never maybe going to stand on the stage. But that's not what it's about. It's when we grow together and we realize, like, we are the body of Christ. We are the church of Christ. And the whole world is waiting for us, each one, to bring its part, to share its part, to come and say, hey, I've got something to give. Because I tell you, more than ever, there's a fear in this nation, in our lives, in our communities, and now the church must rise up. So listen to this. What type of ministries does God give us? Well, firstly, the main ministry that Paul writes in Corinthians, and let's jump to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. He says, when we are a new creation, what type of ministry do we get as believers? But listen to this. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. When you are in Christ, you are a new creation. When you are in Christ, you are not a South African, you are a new creation. When you are in Christ, you are not a white person or a black person or a pink person or a brown person or a yellow person. You are a new creation. And that's why the church is the only answer to reconciliation, because God has first reconciled through Jesus, has reconciled us to himself. And says, hey, your sin, you being having a sinful nature, I need to change that nature. And that's why I send my son to you. So there's been reconciling back to God. But now he says, the moment when you become a Christian, the first responsibility you have is the ministry of reconciliation. But as long as the church thinks of itself as, I'm black and I'm just part of that group, or I'm white and I'm part of that group, and I'm yellow and I'm part of that group, then we're in trouble. And that's why it's so amazing to sit out here, stand up here and just look at a church that really represents Jesus. Different colors, different ages, different. It's beautiful. Gray hair, black hair, pink hair. You know, when Vilio smiles, I just see teeth there on the stage. You know, Vilio, you must stand a bit more in the sun, you know? But it's so beautiful. I stood at the back and I thought like, wow, Vilio, you've got such a great accent. But you know what? You're in Namibian land of milk and biltong. That's amazing, you know. But we need you. But I don't look at Vilio as a black person. I look at him as a son of God. And he comes from an identity and an authority of being in Christ. And more than ever, people, we have to leave those stuff behind right now. We have to don't look at yourself as I am this. And that's a challenge. In the morning like this, right at this moment, in this town, there are just white churches and black churches and brown churches and yellow churches. And you realize like, oops, there cannot be reconciliation. When we hide in our comfort, and I'm saying it with a lot of respect, but when we hide in our comfort, we cannot reconcile the world to God. And this is what he's talking about. He says, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He says, once I've reconciled you, I have given you a gift. It's not a spiritual gift. It's not one of the 10 gifts or the 30 gifts or the 9 gifts or the 12 gifts or the 70 gifts. It says, once you have experienced being born again and to know God, God has given you this amazing thing, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, now he sort of goes on in verse 19. Are you still with me? I'm just warming up. Okay, I'm just warming up. I'm getting very excited. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So what is this ministry? He says, God in Christ has brought the world. He says, world, you are lost. You're out there. You're not forgiven. You're full of sin. But I'm drawing you to myself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So he doesn't just say, hey, I've given you the ministry of reconciliation, but he says, I've given you the word, I've given you the life, I've given you the ability to speak. So when you see yourself as a bridge builder between God and man, something begins to change. I'm here for the purpose to reconcile people back to God and reconcile people with each other. So not just has he given us the ministry, he's also given us the word. Now then, he says. So, and I like this. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors of Christ. If the ambassador in this nation that represents India sort of goes to the press and say, we declare war on South Africa. That one man represents a whole nation. He's the ambassador. War is declared. Because that one man has the authority to represent a whole nation. Now God says, you and I am ambassadors for the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of heaven, and you and I can present God to the world. And once that's why it's so powerful, you know, we're not shouting this morning to say, oh, let's be charismatic. But the moment when you and I say the name of Jesus, then you know the most amazing thing has happened. We're declaring, we're proclaiming who he is. We're saying, hey, he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords. Thank you, Nell, for your, where's Nell? He's out here somewhere. For your obedience there. Because there was really a spirit of heaviness. But did you feel that heaviness lift the moment when we declared who Jesus was? There was some people struggled to worship. It was like oh, you know, just. And then suddenly when the declaration came, this is who Christ is. We're ambassadors for Christ. So when you walk in your workplace, you don't need to just like, oh, okay, no, take the Bible under the arm and just say like, whoa, you know, preach at everybody. No, do your work well. But realize you're an ambassador. You are sent to represent God in that place. You're not just doing a job. In any case, you're doing the job for him. And do it excellently. Do it great. But so many Christians, we are dropping our mandate of why we are here. We are not part of, we're not South African. We're not this or that. We are citizens of heaven. And so the moment when you and I begin to realize that, then suddenly we begin to look at ourselves as having that ministry, but also the word to speak. The moment when we release who God is, when we say who God is over our families, then mixed with faith, people's lives are going to change. People's hearts are going to turn back to God. So it's not just about you and me then being comfortable in church. Because the people that are going to start coming to church, and it's already happening, are going to be the prostitutes, are going to be the people that we feel very uncomfortable with, and that's how church should be. If you don't feel uncomfortable a little bit here this morning, then you're in the wrong place. Then we're entertaining you. Because the Holy Spirit brings conviction. And he says, hey, what is the first thing of that kingdom? The moment when the declaration comes, it says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. No. I want to hear just all the time how much Jesus loves me. I don't want to hear repent. But there's more recorded of Jesus saying repent than I love you so much. The motivation was always love, drawing in love. We grow up together in love. Now listen to this in verse 21. For he made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. And righteousness just simply means I have a right relationship, a right standing before God. He reconciled us back to God. He's built that bridge between God and man that was separated. It was blown up. It was torn apart. There was no way. And God says, I'm gonna give you this ministry. But first, you need to be reconciled. And maybe you are here this morning and you're just going through the motions and you're tired and you're discouraged. Your primary concern of ministry is to minister towards God, to worship Him, to have a relationship with God. It's not to play church. Is to be intimate with God Himself. Is to have that place where God can speak into your life. Sure, it's getting very quiet in here. But He became for us righteousness. He imputed righteousness. He gave us this ability. He says, it's not about you. You can do nothing. But you and I can stand in a right relationship before Him. When I prayed for the service, I really felt God showed me a picture of many of us that has dropped our armor. We've put down the sword. We've put down the breastplate of righteousness. We've dropped our spiritual armor. And as I kept on praying, I felt like, but that's what's happening in the church. There's a massive temptation in the church in our nation at this moment just to withdraw and just say, oh, my God, no. Church, we have the answer. His name is Jesus. And it's now time to arise and shine and make your light shine. When people talk fear, don't join the conversation, but say, hey guys, maybe you're just speaking these things because I know security. I'm secure. And I'm not saying don't be responsible, don't look out, you know, because we had people being murdered in the town here. But there's so much violence. There's so much stuff. It's happening all over. So yes, be responsible. Don't leave your front door open, hey? But don't shut God out. Because at the moment, a lot of people are throwing down their armor, their breastplate of righteousness. They're just discouraged. And you know, when you look around us in the natural, that's maybe what you're going to see. That's maybe what's going to happen in our hearts. You're going to feel discouraged. You're going to think like, wow, God, I'm praying, but I don't see the answer. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. I remember this lady in the Middle East came to us and told us the testimony of how she was praying for her husband. For more than 16 years, he was a drunkard. He was just drinking himself capable. What is that in English? Capable, okay? Something like Babel. I don't know, but you know. He was a drunkard and he was drinking all the time. And then God gave her scriptures and she was just praying and God just, and she hanged on to the scriptures and it felt like nothing is coming to pass. It actually got worse. And then she would go to the small groups, or they don't have church like we have. But she'll go there and she and her friends will just agree. And for a couple of years, they were just praying and praying. And she wanted to give up. She wanted to just like say, this is it. Because every night when she'd come back, you'll be drunk, lying out, passed out there. And he was verbally very abusive. But there's one specific scripture. In Christ, you are a new creation. And she would speak that over him. And she would like take little papers with the scriptures and put it under the bed and just everywhere. She would just hide it. She would just speak it. And when he's drunk lying there, she would just prophesy over him and say, hey, you are, will be a new creation, you know. And it's tense when it's at home. It's easy when it's out there, you know. And she said one night she went again, but she was really discouraged. She was at the end of herself. And it happened regularly. She felt like, God, why is it taking so long? When she came back home, her husband was sitting straight up right there, and he's sobbing. He's sobbing. Completely sober. She thought like, wow, the first time in how many years this man is sober. And then he cried and he repented and he said, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. That's what he said for an hour. She couldn't stop getting to say sorry. Maybe she enjoyed it a little bit. She just said, go, 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 you know. Year number one, year number two, you know. I don't know if that was, I would have put it on that. But eventually when he spoke, he said, you know, they were, as she was going out, he was drinking again. And the next moment, he said, a scripture appeared on the wall. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old things have passed. Behold, all things have come, become new. The scripture that she's been praying in for more than 10 years over his life. The scripture flashed up on the screen, heaven's screen. And there was no data projectors, I mean. When God lifts the veils and then suddenly opens up the eyes. Because somebody spoke the word of God. And so I want to encourage us, don't get discouraged. Don't leave behind the faith and the obedience and the stuff. Sometimes we lose focus, but then God says, hey, this is why you're here. Sometimes it just means praying, keep on praying for the nation. Now the scripture we quoted at the beginning. So once we have the ministry of reconciliation, then scripture talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is the sign of the church that is waiting for him to return. Remember the brides? Remember those lamps that were full? There's one part of the church that were ready for his return, but the other part were not ready because their lamps were not filled with oil. And I'm saying it with a lot of respect, but there's a lot of people, if they don't know the fullness of the Holy Spirit, they're not going to be able to hear the voice of God. They're going to be tossed to and fro. And that's why the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of life. And we don't need to be afraid because the Holy Spirit will speak to you. I'm so excited, you know, just 2 days ago, it was yesterday, I was WhatsApping this guy in Parliament, and I said to him, do you know what God told me? A specific date, a specific time that we must go and pray in Parliament. Can you organize it? That's like yesterday. Friday. Today's Sunday. Friday morning, I WhatsApped this guy. Because about a year ago, he said, hey, one day you must bring a couple of people and come and pray into Parliament. I said, look, I don't know, but this date, this time, 24 November, we need to go and pray in Parliament. Can you help us? So he didn't reply. 20 minutes later, Angus WhatsApps me and he says, see us, you need to pray because on the 24th of November, this time, we need to be in Parliament and we need to get in there. So I'm thinking like, I love it when God's plan comes together, you know. When the Spirit speaks the same thing, and just as I'm busy just telling this guy we need to make room for that day there in Parliament, your anger says he needs to be in Parliament on that day. God showed him that day, so we need to pray for doors to open. So pray for the 24th of November, that we can speak to some of the MPs and the people there. What an exciting time when the Holy Spirit speaks the same thing all across the world, eh? And that's the amazing thing. We can be 3 steps ahead of the devil. And this is why Paul writes to Timothy in this context in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6 to 7. He says, therefore I remind you. Why would he need to remind somebody? Because somebody got discouraged. Somebody were ignorant. Somebody forgot. He says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which was in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but that of power and of love and of a sound mind. What is the answer if you are afraid in the nation? Stir up the gift. Don't withdraw. It's in the context of the spiritual gifts. He says, Timothy, you are being discouraged. There's so many people say you're too young. They're saying a lot of stuff about you. They're doing all that stuff. But I remind you, stir up the gift. Stir up the church. Say, church, be ready. No, but you know, it's almost December. I can't be ready. But it's especially when you're tired, when God comes and he says, okay, now I want you to... Because then the flesh can't manifest. It's either the spirit or completely the flesh, okay? There's no in-between when you sort of almost feel like, no, don't tell me this now. I just want to go and comfort myself now, okay? I just want to sort of hide. I just want to write exams. Don't tell me I'm going to stir up the gift. Let me just get through the exams. Lord, bless my exams so that, you know. But the church needs to wake up. We need to pray. Now is the time to stir up the gift. And he says, I remind you. So this morning, I'm just doing what Paul did. I said, I remind you, take up the armor. I remind you, stand ready. When you go out tomorrow morning, when you go to bed tonight, say, Lord, angels around this place. Lord, thank you, God, for protection. Lord, thank you for opportunities. Because when there's great fear, there is great opportunities for the church of Jesus Christ to arise. Because we are not operating in that level. We are operating in the boldness because of what God has given us and the gifts inside of us. Because the Holy Spirit will lead us. He will show us. He will tell us, hey, that date, that thing, that's pray for this, pray for that. Don't operate in fear. There's some of you that are panicking at the moment because you're seeing stuff and you want to do all the stuff in the natural. Now, do stuff in the natural, but no, first do it in the spiritual. Walk around your house. Take oil, anoint it. Say, Holy Spirit, thank you. This place belongs to you. Say, angels around this place. Now, I have a mother-in-law that teaches me this stuff. She cannot barely speak English. But, you know, I think it was last year, robbers came in, grabbed my father-in-law and all that stuff. And she just stood up and she said, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Get out of this house now. And they ran. But she didn't just stop there. She ran after them. You need to repent. I could just see the picture. Down the street. I'm thinking like, oh, bring it on, you know. But see, the devil wants to cripple us through fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But when you're in the flesh, you will experience fear. You will not have a sound mind. You will not have the power and the love of God operating through your life. And the devil is bringing a lot of that. And he wants, if he can just get the church to operate in that, in the flesh, in that realm, then he's got this nation. The only answer for reconciliation in this nation is the church of Jesus Christ. And we cannot go there, people. We cannot. It's now time for the Holy Spirit to take hold of us and say, oh, here I am, Lord. Show me. Woo, I'm getting excited. Last scripture, 20 verses. Okay, let's go for this. So God has given us ministry abilities, which we call the ministry of the Father gifts. So just in serving. In Romans 12, listen to how Paul says this. He says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He says, I want you to present yourself as a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, a living sacrifice. That means every day. You see, the essence of the Christian message is that I give up my right to choose. God, you know the best. I give up my right to choose the way I want to live my life. I give up my comfort. That's what death means. And so he says, when you're a living sacrifice, there's a reasonable worship, there's a reasonable service. You must present your bodies, because sometimes your bodies are going to cry out. Sometimes the fear is going to cry out. But present yourself as a living sacrifice to God every day. And he says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, because the world is going to draw us back. The world is going to say a lot of stuff now. For I say, through the grace given to me, that everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. The word soberly is actually the word accurate. It means to think of yourself not too high, but not too low of yourself. Think accurately of your position. Because the one says you can fall into pride, spiritual pride, and think you're better than other people. But he says, when you think soberly of yourself, don't think of yourself as a worm. Don't drop the armor. Don't drop your position in Christ. Think accurately. Once you've presented yourself, you're not conformed to this world. He says, because God has given you, what has He given you? A measure of faith. He's not just given you the ministry of reconciliation. He's not just given you the ministry of the word. He's not just given you the Holy Spirit, which is the seal of the promise of the guarantee that God is coming. But He says He's given you a measure of faith. He's given you, there's something inside of you that He has given you, and you need to, now it's time to stir up that faith. Now again, this concept of the body, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Sure. Faith wasn't supposed to be practiced alone. He says, we are individually members of one another. I need you. I need your faith. I need you to encourage me sometimes. I need you to speak life. I need you to pray for me. I am a pastor, so pray for me. I'm a leader. Pray for me. I need you. And you need me, and you need him, and you need her. Because we are individually members of one another. It's never been an individual thing. There are so many people sitting outside the church offended with the church today. But you need one another. That's what Scripture says. God does not see you as us as a bunch of individuals. He sees us as one body. And now He says, having then the gifts differing to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. If ministry, let us use it in ministering. And he who teaches, you exhorts in exhortation, you gives with liberality, you leads with diligence, you shows mercy with cheerfulness. I love that last one. Shows mercy with cheerfulness. Do it with joy. Talking about the gifts of the Father. So we get the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we get the gifts of Jesus that we spoke on in Ephesians 4 verse 11, and then the gifts of the Father, the abilities, the ministry abilities. He says, I've given you ability to lead. I've given you ability to extend mercy. I've given you ability to encourage others. I've given you these abilities. Use it. Because the churches need you. No, but I've got all this stuff. I need all these issues. And the devil will make you focus on those issues for the rest of your life. Until you realize I'm a minister of the gospel. I'm a minister of reconciliation. I'm not black, I'm not white, I'm not pink, I'm yellow. I'm a Christian. And I minister to God and I minister to people. Because that's what you take with you to heaven. People. Not things. Maybe some experiences. But only people can go with you. Can I get an amen? So I know some of us may think like, shoo, beginning of November. Yeah, I'm just interested in hearing my snore, November or whatever, you know. Not applicable to the ladies, just the men, you know. But so many people are using excuses. But God is calling His church to arise. There's a trumpet call going out. And even if it's a discouraged church, this is why the Scripture says there. It says, come, bring. God has given you that. You're a new creation. And there's some of us that has forgotten that. Why we are here. Yes, God will comfort you, but only when you're out of your comfort zone. The Holy Spirit will come in only when you're out of your comfort. That's why He's the comforter. But it's not time to withdraw. It's not time to escape. It's not time to get confused now. It's time for the church to arise. And that's why I just pray for our nation. Say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, what you're doing. Thank you, God. It's not a racial thing. It's not a this thing. It's not a that thing. God can save a nation in one day. He can do that. God can save a nation in one day. And that's where you have to bring your measure of faith. That's where the body of Christ isn't going to stand. The body of Christ in the last days is not going to be a fancy preacher or a well-known preacher. And we run after that preacher and buy all of his DVDs and all of his books. And we worship the preacher because we think like, hey, he can give us something or she can give us something. No. Switch off the YouTube channels. Get your word. Dig into it and say, Jesus, I want to grow in the stature of Jesus Christ. And Lord, you know, you've placed me here in a local church where I need to realize that there's other people's giftings I need. And we're going to come together in small group. When we come together, the church is happening. When we come together, so I want to encourage you, don't wait for a meeting to happen. But whenever you come together, the church is happening. It's like, God, there's a stature of Christ that you want to manifest. So will you stand with me?
Remember that our sermons are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.